That's Jesus, okay, you know. So as this saying, as this song is playing, like, and it, I felt it. I wonder when there are songs that we sing, even at church, or we play them, and the high man, you know, it's usual, but today I'm feeling it. I suspect it's because of the 10 days of prayer, because we are all in a season of prayer. Because even when we're receiving this prayer request here as AWR, some of them, they would bring you to tears. You're like, oh, Nkosi, what's going on? You know, things are so bad. But then now when this song comes through saying that, does he care? And then it says, yes, he does. Oh, we are joined on the line by Pastor Michael Maforo. I always call him Big Brother. I'm putting this in. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you? It's Amos.
I'm good. I know. For me, Mfundis, if you allow me, the other one is, I call him Mfu Wenanje. I'll just call you Big Brother, Pastor Maforo. If you allow me, Mfundis, one.
No, it's fine.
Thank you so much, Mpundisi. So, Mpundisi, we are wrapping up our lesson. But before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, may guide us in this conversation?
Oh, yes. Let us pray. Our Father, what in heaven, oh, how we pray that you be with us as we conclude this lesson during this week, during the 10 days of prayer. We thank you for revealing your truth through us and by us. May we live on these truths. Be with us as we discuss. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, teach us to pray our psalms psalms. Yeah, I'm going to put the P myself. You know, in the psalms, teaching us to pray. You know, we've learned about how we have to foster the use of psalms in our prayers. We've looked at trust in troubled times. We've looked at the psalm of despair, from despair to hope, and oh, rescue us again, Mpundiswami. It has been a lovely week. So your further thoughts into this study and if you can wrap it up nicely for us.
Oh, thank you so much. I also learned a lot. You know, whenever I'm asked to present, you go an extra mile to also read things that you are not going to read ordinarily. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate the opportunity that we had, and I have been blessed. Today, as we conclude, friends, we want to conclude this way. If you look at Psalm chapter 42, Psalm chapter 42, verse 8, we realize, isn't we asked, Lord, teach us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree that we do not know how to pray. We need to be taught how to pray, such that we pray the Lord's way, or we pray the way that will yield, the way we pray in a manner that will give us results. Because many times we are praying, it becomes rhetoric, it just becomes monotonous. You know, it's a monologue, it's one way. Maybe the Lord is not even hearing us, and we are not even fulfilled. So this week we wanted to establish a certain way of praying whereby we connect with the Lord Almighty. So the best way of praying is the psalm way, whereby we use the psalms, because the psalms were also prayers. If you look, we'll start with this text, Psalm chapter 42, verse 8. It goes like, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Now, he will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. The Lord is always encompassing those who fear him. Friends, whenever we are in despair, whenever we are in trouble, let us open our hearts, our mouths to the Lord and tell him whatever we are going through. Let us express ourselves the way we feel. We have learned not to pretend with God. God knows us. You know, when you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. Before conception, God knew you. So you dare not pretend. Number two, if you look at Psalm 51, David expresses himself, he illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin. So whenever you are in sin, most of us, all of us, for all you have sinned, isn't it?
Yes.
When you want to detest sin, no, you will do well to copy David. Remember, the Lord says, David is the man after my own heart. What kind of a man is this one? A murderer? What kind of a man is this one? An adulterer who takes somebody to wife?
Who
actually kills for that wife, you know, and he continues. But God says, he is a man after my own heart. So it's not about the sin or the sins that we commit. It's about how remorseful, how sorrowful we are when we return to God and actually confess and admit. So in David, in Psalm chapter 51, we learn. You can actually pray that prayer. Said, God, may you intervene in my life. May you take hold of my life. If you read Sister White, she has quite a number of quotations that she gives us. She actually encourages believers to memorize texts from the Psalms and as the means of fostering the sense of God's presence in their lives. You know, this encouragement is this is what Jesus did. Just imagine, if you want to see that something is there, actually ingrained, or it's inside you, it's part of you, we realize if you are able to express it when you are in pain. You know, there is this saying, whenever you cry, whenever you are in trouble, you know, people are always honest, or rather people use their mother tongue when they are in pain. So now when the Psalms are part of us, you know, all I'm saying is when Jesus was in pain at the cross, he had to appeal to his nature. His nature was that he had studied the Psalms. The Psalms were part of him. That's why he was able to quote them and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? You can't say such statements if you don't even know them, if they are not part and parcel of you. So we're being encouraged to study the Psalms. Okay. Jesus' practice of lifting his voice with Psalms were met with temptation and oppressive fear. Okay. She also remarks, this is Sister White, how often by words of holy song are unsealed in the soul the springs of penitence and faith, of hope and love and joy. Indeed, many a song is a prayer. This you find in the book Education, page 162 to 168. So what are we saying, friends? In conclusion, we're being encouraged to have a song for every season.
Okay.
To have a psalm for every season. When you are happy, there is a psalm for that. When you are sad, when you are in despair, there is a psalm for that. And when you have been restored, there is a psalm for that. Another thing. When we pray and sing the psalms, we assume the persistence, boldness, and courage and hope of the psalmist. You see what is this road we're traveling in, it has been traveled before.
Okay.
You know, you'll understand it when we have your kids, you know, when you look at them. You see those temptations you went through when you were a teenager.
Hey.
Or what you are going through, you know, even when you're an adolescent. You know, the challenges you have with drugs, peer pressure, even abafana majaha na, the challenges you have with girls, with boys, what have we. It's not new under the sun. Even our parents went through that. You know, No, it's nothing like that. There's nothing about Ama 2000. It has always been like that. You know, how we respond. It might be at a certain level now, but how we respond. What am I saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying this road we are traveling, the psalmist also traveled it. So we'll do well to actually quote the psalms and actually check how David conquered this. You know? There's somebody who's being tempted by ladies who are moving around naked. You're not the first one. David was also tempted when he was moving, when he was up there on the roof. He saw the woman and he was tempted.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? So we need to find strength in that, saying, okay, how did David conquer? You get what I'm saying? So David conquered this way. He came, when Nathan approached David, he did not try to defend himself or to actually start saying why was Bathsheba bathing outside. No. This is why I had to rape that person. No, that's not it. I'm not condoning the people who are underdressed. No, all I'm saying is, at the end of it all, it's all about you. Okay. The Psalms also encourage us to continue our spiritual journey and comfort us that we are not alone. We are not alone. If the people of the olden days had such challenges, you know, at times, remember the Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph, saying, no, my feet almost slipped when I was envious of the wicked. Even you looked around and checked the latest Ford Ranger and you desired to have it, the latest Land Rover, you know, the Evoque, and you desired, I wish I had this one, only to realize that the person who's driving it is an atheist, a non-Christian, you know, with the person, and you are loyal to your God, you know, you tithe, you do everything, you know, you are faithful to your spouse, you come to work, you know, you don't even steal anything at work, yet you are poor and miserable, you are always using the taxes, you know. This is what was happening with Asaph. He says, no, I almost lived, you know. When I looked around, I don't have kids, but others have kids. Those who do not believe in God have kids. They are kept to multiply. My feet almost slipped until I went into the sanctuary. And saw them. So what should we do now? When I'm tempted thus, I read that psalm, I'm strengthened in that. No, let me go into the sanctuary. I learn something. Okay. I don't know whether it's making sense.
No, it's making sense, Mpundi Swami. It's making sense what you're saying there. And as you're saying that, you know what, we should read the Psalms and we should write our own Psalms, you know, because yes, we do. And I'm happy that you brought the thing that whatever that David went through, it's things that we are seeing today. It's not like things that never happened. I remember there was someone who was like, but why are we watching a lot of TV and stuff like that, and someone was like, no, but when I learn about real life issues and stuff, someone was like, if you want to speak about rape, it's there in the Bible. If you want to speak about temptation, it's there in the Bible. If you understand. So I'm happy that we are also emphasizing the issue of studying the Bible here in order for us to relate it to our own lives.
Oh yes, you know, even whatever we're going through, remember, actually Jesus says, when he says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lord, people were eating and drinking. So there's nothing amazing about being gluttonous now. People are always in all these fast foods, you know. There's nothing amazing about that. This issue, you know, people are crazy about these same-sex marriages. No, actually Jesus spoke about it. He said, as it was in the days of Lord. You know, there's nothing amazing. We just need to have strength, you know, and conquer. Because in those days, Lot actually managed to survive, you know, to raise kids. He didn't say, "Hi, everyone is now a homosexual, what. The Bible said he managed to raise virgins in that country. And Abraham was also there, you know. Noah was there during those, the entity. So the Bible says, even the pen of inspiration, they were so advanced. They had so much technology, people of those years, more than we have now.
Yep.
But they survived. So if we refer to the Psalms, we learn a lot. Listen to this one, this point. Engaging the Psalms in prayer and worship makes the believing community aware of the full range of human experience and teaches the worshippers to engage in various facets of that experience in worship. When we said this, like we said yesterday, it's not about you. You are learning about others, what they are going through. Okay, that we are in a war, and it strengthens us and gives us a balanced way of praying, that we also pray for others. The Psalms are divine human prayers and songs. For that reason, my sister, including the Psalms consistently in worship brings the believing community to the center of God's will and powerful human grace. You know, without Psalms, without songs, even the Bible in James chapter 4, it says, is there somebody who is joyful? Sing a psalm, you know, if you are joyful, there's somebody who's down, you're sick, call the elders to come and lay hands on you, you know. So we need to use this. I think, you know, my prayer life has been changed this week when I was studying this. But no, I think I miss it somewhere. The way I've been praying, I don't refer, you know, you think you are all alone. The Bible says there is no temptation that is new under the sun. Nothing. You can't dream saying, yeah. And we're not tempted beyond what we can conquer. You know what I'm saying? No, we're not. You can manage. You can manage. So praying the same way when we're concluding it this week is we need to have the mind of Jesus. You know, I thought of memory text. You know, I just sat down and said, now, I wonder how Jesus was praying when the disciples were listening. And then they said, ah, what manner of prayer is this one? They said, no, Lord. You know, they'd been praying the rest of their lives. These were not non-believers. They'd been believing. Then they said, ah, Lord, may you teach us to pray. I think there was something with Jesus' prayer. What I got, you know, that was the Jesus' prayer was a live communication. He spoke to God as to a friend. He expressed himself. He believed. You know, you can tell that this person is talking about something he knows, or somebody is talking about somebody he has a relationship with, or somebody who is talking to somebody he has heard about. So when we pray, we should know, no, this God, we know him. We have an experience with this God. May the good Lord help us. And he will definitely restore us. Whatever you are going through, my friend, you know, don't carry it by yourself on your own. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Allow him to carry it for us. You know, then we'll conquer. Then we'll definitely conquer. On your own, you know, when you do things on your own, you tire. But when we allow God to do it on our behalf, He's omnipotent, all powerful. He doesn't tire. We'll call. So, friends, let's surrender everything and let's admit that we are sinners. You know, there's one thing that people of this generation don't admit. You know, Revelation chapter 2, it says that, Zah and Amos, you know how you are. It says we are a Laodicean church.
Yeah.
It says we are neither cold nor hot. This is what faithful and true witnesses say. But we want to pretend that we are hot, you know. But it says we are neither cold nor hot. Buy from me. So we need to admit that we are weak, you know. I love this, that hymn says, child, the Lord has said thou art weak, you know. Just come and pray. You are weak. This you need to know. You are not strong, you know. Let him who thinks that is dead take heed lest he falls. Never say you are from here, not. This is what David said now. He says, no, when Nathan approached him, says, Lord, it is you who had committed this sin. You know what he did? He went down on his knees in dust and ashes and admitted, Lord, I have sinned. But many of us will come up with excuses. The reason why I did this, it was because of this. No, I grew up without parents. You're not the first one. Even in the Bible, such people, you talk of Jabez, no Jabez, you know, he was somebody with a terrible name, you know, a terrible past, but he became a great man. The Lord has always been there for us, so we have no excuse, especially now that we have the Psalms. Maybe the psalmist might have had an excuse because they didn't have the Psalms. But we now have the Psalms. We have people who have gone through this road for us. So we need to just follow. Also, you know, the Psalms reveal to us the glimpses of Christ's fervent intercession on our behalf. You know, if you read Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it talks of Jesus being the great intercessor, interceding on our behalf. He always lives to pray for us. Jesus is praying for us, you know. All we need to do is pray the same way and link with him and talk to him. The Spirit is interceding with groanings that cannot be uttered, so that our prayers are accepted. So, friends, no need to be afraid. A lot has been done for us.
Point is, there's no need to complain. Indeed, kuningi that the Lord has done for us. Pastor, I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for us as we wrap up this lesson study? And also pray, Mfundisi. I remember when we started, you know, I asked a question that one of our listeners asked, and I also saw the other day, I think it was on Tuesday or so, in our church, local church group here, they sent, you know, materials on why it's important for us to study the lesson there. So as we pray, Pastor, pray that you also, we go back to studying the lessons today and making it a daily thing, because you just read one thing like per day, you know, so if you can also pray for that.
All right, Noah. Thank you so much. We had a lovely lesson this week. May the good Lord richly bless us. Let us pray for all the needs of the saints in the Seed Territory during these 10 days of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, what in heaven, thank you for the beautiful time we had, the beautiful lesson we had throughout the week. May all glory come unto you. There are certain petitions that have been brought. Some are looking for jobs, work. Some have terrible marriages. Some kids are not even obedient to their parents. There is a lot that is happening. There is a lot of jealousy, competition. All we ask is for you to see us through. After these 10 days, we want to praise you, O Lord. We want to continue studying the Psalms, continue revealing your truth through the Psalms. As we continue studying the next lesson, third lesson, may you reveal your truth unto us. As we are going to conclude tomorrow everything that we learned, may you be with us. Thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. Be with the moderators and everybody at Seed Media. This is our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed Sabbath.
Same to you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.